want to start this morning by telling you a little story. A certain mountain climber had all the things that he needed to make the ascent on this particular mountain. You know, many climbers that climb things like Mount Everest, they start training maybe sometimes years in advance, collecting all the resources, everything that's necessary to make this particular climb. And this individual did the same thing. And as he began the climb and during the course of the climb, something happened. He was reaching a very precarious point in that climb, and he slipped. And for those of you who have ever done any type of climbing, that can be sort of a traumatic event. Thank God he did have a rope, and he was attached to the rope, and it was actually nighttime by the time that this had occurred. He was trying to make a certain particular type of move, and the sun was going down. And by the time he actually slipped, the sun had gone completely down, and there was no way for him to really recognize or realize anything that was going on around him. And what he did is, he just, you know, like anybody would do, he just grabbed to the rope and held on as tight as he possibly could. And after a period of time, he just yelled out to God, "God, help me!" And God spoke to him. And God said, "Let go of the rope." And so, believe it or not, he did let go of the rope. Of course, you're tied in. And he said, "God, I'm just going to put this whole thing in your hands. Tell me what to do." And God said, "Cut the rope." And you know, they found this guy the next day frozen to the rope because he grabbed back onto it. And he just held on for dear life. And he just would not cut that rope. And the ground was 10 feet below him. You see, God knows so much more about life than we do. So the title of my teaching this morning is called "Cut the Rope." Let's not look at the circumstances around us. Let's not consider the inevitable things that may occur in the course of our lives. Let's trust God with great confidence that God can fulfill what His Word says He can fulfill. So I'd like to start this morning in Matthew chapter 6. When I heard that story, I was just so inspired because it just sets such a great mind picture. For many of us who are in less precarious situations, but yet we choose not to trust God. We choose to look at the circumstances and make our own choices, our own ways, carve out our own cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Remember in the Word, how it talks about that? "For my people have forsaken me. They have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. They have forsaken me, the fountain of what? Living waters." See, God is just not asleep. He's there. Every moment. I want to look at this Matthew chapter 6, verse starting in verse 25. It's not just during this time of the season, but many times of the seasons of life, people and Christians as well are looking to, let's say, improve the quality of their life. But sometimes that can translate over into anxiety. That can translate over into worry. And I just want to read a few scriptures here that talk to us about how to deal with those anxious thoughts that sometimes we're confronted with. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus Christ is saying, and he's talking, and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit of stature, one cubit unto his stature? Which of us sitting here right now, if we really put our minds to it, could be as tall as Bob Linfeld? I am 5'11". He is 6'5". There is no way I'm going to be able to work my mind just to get that tall, much less probably even 6 feet tall. See? But so it's a great analogy. Which of us, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little believing? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Outside these doors today, people are seeking for those things, worrying about where, how it's going to happen, what's going to happen, why is it happening? But verse 32 reassures us, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And in verse 33 it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, there's enough going on today. Don't be all uptight and worried and with your stomach in knots about the eventuality of what may happen tomorrow. Let's deal with the reality of today. In Psalm 118:24, there's a great verse. It says, tomorrow is the day which the Lord hath made. Yesterday was the day the Lord hath... No, you know what this says? Today. Today is the day the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad in it. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You don't have this over... care and concern. He says to them, be of good cheer. You know, Jesus was, he was a pretty amazing fellow. You know? I mean, the storms of life are raging, and Jesus would just look at these disciples and just say, why do you have such little believing? And here comes Peter walking on the water in the midst of a raging storm. But the storms of life did not alter the way Jesus Christ handled his life. And we can be just like that. These words, to take no thought, is other places translated anxiety. To be drawn in different directions and to be distracted. And it relates to the issues that cause these types of anxious cares. Maybe you've heard this before, but you know what? We don't want to live in Unhappyville. We don't want to live in Unhappyville. We want to live in Happyville. We want to live in Happyville, not Unhappyville. We want to learn how to cut the rope and not carry the anxieties, the cares, and the worries of our everyday life upon our shoulders. We really want to learn how to cast those cares upon God. We really want to learn how to cut the rope in the middle of the night and really confidently be assured in our hearts because of the greatness of what God's Word says that God will not fail us. God will not let us go somewhere where we don't want to go. God loves us. God will take care of us. But you know what? The stubbornness and the pride in man causes him to try every other avenue available before they will go to God. When all else fails, go to God? Before all else fails, go to God. Because all else will fail. See? Part of the great power in God's enabling grace is for us to be humble and have humility in our hearts and minds to the point that we can just say, I need help. That's one of the hardest things for people to really say in their hearts and lives is, I'm not perfect. I need help. I'm not strong enough on my own to make it. See? But you know what stops people from making that type of admission? Their own pride. Their own stubbornness of having to try to work everything out on their own first. See? That brings a lot of frustration. That brings a lot of defeat. That brings a lot of misery. It takes humility, realizing we need help, overcoming our own stubbornness and pride, and asking for help, and acknowledging that we are not able to do everything by ourselves. And what a freeing reality that is. It really is. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. That we can talk to our Heavenly Father. We can give Him every care. Every concern, that we can be so happy in our lives. Not unhappyville, happyville. See? We don't go to unhappyville. See? And really, many times, the intensity of where things go in people's lives causes them to be less than cheerful. Causes them to be sort of heavy and intense. See? And, you know, yet you see the record where Jesus is talking to these guys and saying, hey, don't let your hearts be heavy. Don't be troubled. He says, be of good cheer. He says, lighten up. You know, things aren't really as bad as maybe you're making them out to be. You know, people have the tendency to make mountains out of molehills, you know. And all of a sudden, those things just pile up, and then you have an explosion over something that, you know, really, in the big picture, is nothing. Here's another great verse in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4. And isn't it interesting that these would appear in the same context? It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then these great verses in Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't have that. The word anxious or careful in both Matthew and here means to be drawn in different directions and distracted. See? That we can't allow our minds to be drawn in different directions and distracted off of what God's Word says to us and the truth of what this promise unfolds to us. When we get drawn down into, how am I going to do it? We've taken our eyes off of God. Thing is, it's not up to us to have to figure it all out. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do it? Don't have to do it. God says in Philippians 4, 6, to be careful for nothing, to be anxious for nothing. Can you believe that's in the Bible? To be absolutely anxious-free, care-free. That doesn't sound right. But that's what the Word says. So you know what? This has got to be possible. It says, do not be anxious for anything. But it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That we can go to God Almighty with everything that would cause us care and concern, like we're carrying at times, sometimes, the weight of the world upon our shoulders. Whether it's physical healing, whether it's mental healing, whether it's financial abundance, it really doesn't matter. But a lot of times we carry these things around with us. See, and they really keep us pushed down. We don't have to carry those with us. We can release those things. See, we can cut the rope. Proverbs chapter 3, let's look at that one. Cut the rope. Because all that rope is at that point in time is bondage. God just says, trust me. I will take care of you. Trust me. Little kid on the end of the swimming pool, it's daylight. He can see mommy and daddy in the pool. They're saying, jump. Jump. And they're like, no, I can't. Jump, I'll catch you. They go through this whole thing. You ever been to family camp, stood on the top of the rocks, waiting to jump down into this ice-cold 58-degree water? People actually stand up there and walk away. They don't jump. God's saying, cut the rope. Jump. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Psalm 37. Trusting God is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment activity. And if you found yourself maybe at times recently not trusting God, then you know what? It's that quick just to turn towards him. He is the forgiving Father. He's just waiting there with open arms saying, welcome back. I've just wanted to take care of you. Now I can do that. See? Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's another one. Can you believe that's in the Bible? It says that if you will delight. Now, that doesn't sound like a burden. That sounds like sort of a joyful, enjoyable experience. It says, if you will delight yourself also in the Lord, he's going to do what? Give you the desires of your heart. Now, that doesn't sound so bad. And verse 5 says, and commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That is not a bad way to go. In Psalm 34, back a page or two. Psalm 34, verse 8. I mean, what a great solution, really, to our own inadequacy. We can trust in God and be carefree. Because we're in the grace administration. God doesn't base everything on our works. You know. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Taste. To taste means you've got to partake. You've got to step out. You've got to cut the rope. It's all or nothing. See? Cut the rope. What holds us back from cutting the rope? Our own stubbornness, our own pride, our own fear that maybe God won't come through. God, maybe he'll fail me. God isn't going to fail you. Well, just think if Jesus Christ would have had that mindset during the crucifixion. I don't think so. And he wasn't God. He was a man just like you and I are. Same temptation, same type of mind. Yeah, he had sinless blood. But he had to work with his mind according to the promises of God's word. Look in Jeremiah chapter 17. What an exciting adventure we're on. Because God wants us to be blessed. And he wants to provide for us. If the children of Israel could have gotten this, they wouldn't have been in the desert making a 2-week journey over 40 years. Because, I mean, that's about how long the distance was. That's amazing. It wasn't like, you know, walking from here to India or New York or wherever. It was a pretty, geographically, not that long of a distance. God wanted them to trust in him as their total 100% dependency upon him as their sufficiency. We look to so many other things to meet our needs and be our sufficiency, you know, my job, my paycheck, my bank account. I mean, how many of us get nervous when the bank account starts going, hey, this is reality. This is what we go through at times. What does God's word say? It says, don't be anxious for nothing. Because God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, I've got to line up my thinking with what God's word says. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7, says, blessed, or happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Does that say anything? That does say something about how a man or a woman will be, even in negative circumstances. It says when heat comes, when all these other things happen, this person's going to flourish. See, because why? Trusting in the Lord. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Middle of the dark, you can't see all around you. Well, what is believing? Seeing all the variables all laid out in front of you before you take that step? I think believing is that title deed of having the reality of God's word present in your life before you actually see it. We don't see first, then we believe. We believe and then see, right? Yeah. We have that confident and that expectant assurance that God is able and confident to bring his word to pass in our hearts and lives. That's what believing does. It appropriates the things of God in our lives. We have that expectation, that assurance that God will work. And that takes it off of us. You know, that somehow I've got to rev my believing up to get as tall as Bob. I'm not going to get there. Because which of you by thinking real hard can add one cubit to your stature? I want to look and close in 1 Peter chapter 5. here. Because I think ultimately what we want our lives to be able to do is to really bring glory and honor to God Almighty. That's the end result of believing this word and walking with God Almighty, is that God gets the glory. Not that all of a sudden now we've got different levels of, man, he's such a great believer. You know, I'll never get to that point. Hey, we're all empowered with the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God's Word, and as the body of Christ, we're assisting one another in all rising up to where we can have that great relationship with God and to bring honor and glory to Him. 1 Peter chapter 5. And in verse 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all of your care, all of your care, all of it, every little tiny bit of anxious care and thought that you just so want to carry around with you, the instruction of God's word is, cast it. Roll it upon him. Unless you just love having it, which I don't. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, I wonder if sometimes the way that the adversary doesn't devour us is in that people don't cast those cares upon God. That they carry them upon themselves, thinking that somehow in their own minds that they are able to bring a better solution into manifestation than God Almighty. I tell you, you talk about deception. God just says, depend on me. Cast your cares upon me. Roll them on me. And like it says in Philippians, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to read this section from the Amplified Version. It says, likewise, ye who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe or apron yourselves, all of you, with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance towards one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and he opposes and frustrates and defeats them, but gives grace and favor or blessing to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. And again, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, verse 10, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while or endured, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen? All right. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your word, and that we just take a moment of time in our so busy lives to cast the cares of our hearts upon you, Father, that many of these things that we carry around with us are just so draining and time-consuming and not worth the sweat and blood and tears that go into them. So I just pray that we can just do what your word says and just really live in Happyville. And I pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, God bless.